Everyone, welcome to the late summer sessions. Dana Walsh, Brent Martin here. Got Mark on the line. Hey, Dana. How's everybody doing?
Hello, hello.
Yeah.
Hi, Dana.
Guys.
Hi, Brent.
Hi.
Hi, Mark. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm just taking a second to sort of ground. I have a lot of notes here, a lot I want to talk about today. I really thank you all for being here. It really means so much for us to get together however we can. And I feel your love and I feel your commitment to getting well and healing yourself and the planet. So thank you for showing up today. Today the call subject was transitions. How does that feel? Feels about right. I feel like we're all kind of up in the air. Everything's a little bit up in the air and changing. And we want to talk today about how to find balance in all these changes and transitions. Particularly the easy one right in front of us is the transition into a new season, meaning it's pretty clear that's what's happening, and just how that can be, it can be really kind of challenging on our bodies and minds. We've adapted to warmer weather, and now it's kind of shifting from, well, California, my God, I don't even know what to say here. It's like hotter, extremely hot fires. That's kind of the weather we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then it drops. And I know, you know, I saw Colorado had snow. They had extreme heat and then snow. And then we're just kind of all over the map. So how to navigate that and find balance. It's amazing how changing weather can really affect your body. I mean, especially weather systems and change in pressure. So, Mark, you know, we'll get to that. I think that's really important. Then we have, you know, the global situation, still in a pandemic, you know, how that's changing, evolving all the time, transitioning from having total freedom to limitations, not easy at all. And then we're in this, like, backdrop of this crazy political circus. it's a lot. And again, for those of you, for all of us, those of you in the world, I'm sending energy to them, even if they're not on the call, just those of you showing up and facing all this without going into deep distraction, deep, you know, sort of distraction, addictions, and I'm not judging because this is a really hard time for people, you know, and you're seeing a lot of people go back into bad habits because it's so overwhelming. So I just love you guys for showing up and doing your best. And so and that includes you too, Brent and Mark. Thank you so much for being here today. We're going to go over you know, how to deal with transitions and getting basic needs. I want to talk about getting your basic needs met in your body and emotionally. I want to talk about finding balance, of course. And I want to talk about how the lymph system sort of relates to all this. Now, we've been making a joke. it's the late summer program, but now it's the late, actually fall program. But that's not exactly true because we're still in this warm season, warm days, cool nights, some cool days. So this change in season is really, this is the most important part to find balance and good habits, right? To keep a strong immune system, right? As we go into the colder months, which, you know, a lot of unknowns there with the pandemic and all that, and will we be in lockdown? I'm not sure. You know, I'm curious to know actually how people are dealing in the different states. So maybe, I don't know, if you're in the program, would you share with us on Facebook how your state's being affected? Are you mandatory masks? Are things open? I was just able to get a haircut. It was so great. You know, they finally opened the salon. And I think I mentioned that in the video. I was able to get a mask that has a ventilation system so I can sit with purified air in the mask. It's pretty amazing. I still need to do a video to share that mask with you guys. But yeah, I want to know what you're dealing with because it's a lot. Brent, I know you're a little bit looser down there in the South, down there.
That's right.
You don't sort of, things are still open, never really closed completely.
Yeah, it never really closed completely. No. We stayed way looser. Yeah. Mask mandate, but that's about as far as it goes.
When you say mask mandate, that just means you have to wear it in the store.
Right, just in the store. You don't have to wear it outside. That's right.
Yeah, we've been kind of all
and
over the place.
And everyone's still allowed to go outside. That's the other thing. I can't believe the places where you're like, you're not even allowed to go to the beach. Are you kidding me? Ugh.
Well, we had a moment like that. That was, I got to say, that was where I was like in the checkmate zone of like, totally boxed in because it's important to say, like, if my escape hatch is always earth and nature and getting on the ground. And you've heard me talk about the redwoods and getting out of the extreme wireless that's everywhere. And so I go to the redwoods and it was pure medicine. And then they closed all that. You couldn't even be out there. And they closed the beaches. They've done that here. But then, you know, California, then you add wildfires. And Mark, I know, we've been talking throughout this whole period, and man, was this intense. I know you want to talk about Mark was evacuated. You were in a motel for 3 weeks.
I was in motel 4 weeks. Yeah, because, you know, 220 homes on our long country road burned down, and every house around us burned down. When we were leaving at 1:30 in the morning, the hill across the road, just across the two-lane road, was completely lit up.
Oh, my God.
And we couldn't even evacuate our animals. But luckily, we had plowed a huge fire break. We'd taken down 12 trees. We had a real fire hose. We had saturated the ground, and the donkeys had eaten everything down to nubbins. And you can literally see burn marks all around our property, all around the 10 acres. And, you know, it's crazy. So we had taken care of it to the point that, you know, the insurance guy thinks it's the miracle but we had done the work. And it was as safe as it can be. But, you know, the animals we didn't lose one animal. 28 animals stayed right, but they were
ringed with fire. Yeah, so explain that you have not just dogs and cats. You have animals.
Four
four
horses, two goats, two donkeys, a llama, five ducks, chickens. Cats. We picked up another cat. When we left, we had to leave the doors open because I couldn't get the cats to go in the cat carrier. And so a stray cat from the neighborhood somehow made its way onto our property and hid out in the house for days. So you know, we actually came away with more animals, but it was terrifying. It was literally terrifying. And the air here has been as bad as you can ever imagine. The air has been horrible. You know, and even with
there's
a
no
mask
way to
doesn't
really
do it.
Explain it.
No,
yeah,
there's
no way
to
explain.
It. No.
It's you know, that day we woke up and it was like, I woke up, it was 8 a.m. I looked at the clock and it registered 8 a.m., but it was dark orange outside. I'm like, wait, what just, it was like a total shock. Like, did aliens land? Like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. The whole room was orange. That was just surreal, wasn't it? I mean, and then it just didn't stop.
It's terrifying.
We've been dealing with
it. Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah, and it's literally suffocating. It's like, where do you go? Where do you go? And I, you know, again, we have tools, Mark. You know how to keep your filters running, meaning through your supplements, and you got to a place that had AC at least that would filter a little bit. I had two air purifiers running.
It still smelled like smoke all the time.
Of course.
All of
that's
time.
What I mean.
Yeah.
And I had two filters, and it was like choking. It was still coming in. I made a video because the only real relief I had was putting a high-powered air purifier in the van. And so it was a sealed container with pure air. You know, mm-hmm. It's just funny. You do what you can, and you sort of have to pull on that warrior spirit, right, just to get by. And
yep.
Thinking of you, Mark, evacuating, you're like, there's no time to think. There's just, let's do it. This is what it is, and we got to go. So, yeah, I just want to, like, send some love out to all the people. I've been dealing with the fires. Got to say, it's we had about 2 or 3 days of blue skies, right? You have that up there, Mark, and where you
yep.
are? And
yeah,
it's just
don't
like
have it today.
that's what I mean. It was like this overwhelming joy of, oh my gosh, a blue sky, and being able to sit on the ground and breathe the fresh air. I sat next to the water. It was like, what it does is it makes you realize you don't need very much. You know, I think that's what's happening globally, is we're really simplifying our lives. And it's like, I don't need very much at all. If I have fresh air and earth to sit on and some good food, you know, it's really, really so important. It's our basic needs, right? But then here we are again, and it's, you know, I don't know where you are. It's in the orange today, and I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having?
Yeah, it's not. You don't want to be outside.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I want to talk a little bit about environment again. For those, you know, those of you that are experiencing some fresh air and you don't have the fires, but you are indoors from heat or whatever. I know Brent in the South, it can get really hot. So obviously air purifiers, I would just say no matter what it takes, just invest, right? And I don't, you know, living in a home is so critical. I've been talking about this for years now, and I'm still stuck in an apartment. But if you live in a home, take advantage of that backyard, you know, get on the ground every single day. Oh my gosh. I am so clear now that this is our best medicine. I mean, without question, like you can take a million supplements and you can try to get the inflammation down, but getting on the ground, I literally put on like 6 pounds of just water weight. My friend's like, I don't recognize you. I'm like, I know, I'm smoked out. And I had 2 days where I sat on the ground and it just dropped. So Mark, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, when your electrical system is working, you're able to drain. It's simple.
Well,
it's because it's
a sodium potassium pump, and it's an electrical gradient. But it's fancy way. That's just a fancy way of saying things are either storing in your body or they're leaving your body. And when your electrical
yeah.
system's off, you're holding on to waste. You'll feel bloated. You'll feel distended. You'll feel puffy. You might have dry lips, dry skin. But you'll be holding. You'll think, okay, why is my skin so dry when I'm holding on to all this waste? Because it's not good waste. It's not good fluid that's hanging out in your body. You need to get that ratio back, and then you'll start exuding. You'll pee, shit, sweat. And maybe if we're talking to Lyme people, they can't work out, so they can't sweat very much, but they can at least move a little bit, and they can urinate more, and they can evacuate more. And when we're holding on to all that stuff, nothing's coming out. We feel stopped up. And when we feel stopped up, our body gets toxic, and when we get toxic, we go backwards. So when you were sitting on the ground, what you were doing is changing your chemistry. I mean, this is the cheapest solution. It's the cheapest solution. It's available to everyone somewhere. Maybe you live in a city where there's not a lot of grass, but go find a park. Find a plot of grass to lay on.
Yep.
Put a blanket down. Do whatever you have to do. But
what
that's
I
available
find amazing,
to almost
yeah.
anyone. Go ahead.
And that's part of the issue is like is being stuck inside. And, you know, again, for me, just with all the wireless, the insane amount of burning in my body, and then getting out to the beach, you know, sitting on the ground, it's like in a half an hour, there's no burning because, as you always say, Mark, the lymph is starting to drain and then the pain goes down. It's so powerful. It's so important. And I think it's way more than just the physiological stuff happening. It's grounding in the sense of like having something that we're connected to. We have to stay connected to the earth, right? There's so much changing. We have to kind of hold on to our mother there, right?
No.
It's such a spiritual experience. It really is. Is that you, Mark? No, it's okay.
Go ahead.
And I just, you know, I'm just concerned. I'm always very concerned about how much EMFs we're all getting, especially the sensitives, and how I was feeling like a caged rat when I couldn't go outside, right? It's not easy. So let's talk about some of the things you can do if you can't get outside, how to keep moving your lymph, because that's going to be, that's always hugely important. But especially right now, as we go into the colder months, we're going to be stuck inside. This is a good opportunity to really flush. And one of the ways I love to do that is to do food combining for a period of time. Now we've sent out a video about food combining that we did a few years ago. Let's just talk about it. So food combining, let's go back. There's foods that are acidic and there's foods that are alkaline, and there's entire, you know, diet systems that are based on this. Have an alkaline diet. And what does that mean? Well, the simplified version is fruits and vegetables are alkalinizing, right? They're alkaline. They're high mineral foods. And I want to say they're actually high electrolyte foods. Let's look at it that way. And then the building foods like proteins, meats, animal products, and then even beans and grains are more acidic. So it's really important that we have a ratio of more alkaline foods. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Mark, and why that's so important?
Well, you were talking earlier about people holding on to waste in whatever way they are, they're mm-hmm. bloated or whatever. So we know that they probably have to have that, or to have an illness like Lyme or any illness, you definitely are holding on to acidic waste. And that's why when people go on cleansing diets, they go on a fast, they go on a cleanse, they go on fruits and vegetables, they pee, shit, and sweat more. They get rid of the waste. And when they get rid of the waste, the alkaline stuff is allowing the sodium potassium pump to exude, get stuff out. Whereas when you're eating the animal, I'm not saying animal products are bad. I'm not saying anything's bad. But when you've been eating the normal American diet, probably when you have a disease, probably when you have bloating, probably when you have any of that, you've got too much sodium and too little potassium. And the fruits and vegetables are high in potassium. You know, obviously you can prepare them wrong and you can spice them up and you can have a lot of black pepper and all like that. But we're talking about fresh, organic, locally grown and seasoned soups the way you describe them, juices, salads. So when you're having the high potassium enzyme-rich foods, you're going to exude all that metabolic waste that's been backing up in your body for years. And you'll feel lighter, clearer, better. And in some cases, you won't need as much in the way of medicine to fix you, because the diet will actually allow your body to cleanse, to get rid of, exude. That's all you're talking about.
And
changing the ratios.
Changing the ratios. And then people hear this stuff and they get really excited and they go on a juice fast, or they go on an all green, you know, wheatgrass diet. And when you've been backed up and you've been toxic and acidic for a long time and you start doing that, it can be very uncomfortable and sometimes dangerous. So a more balanced way to do that is to just have a large amount of fruits and vegetables in your diet and then smaller amount of these building foods. Now, as we go into the warmer months, you can have more building foods because you're going to need it, right? So let's talk about the yin and yang. So when it's warm, you can have more yin foods. Fruits and vegetables in the raw state can be very cooling, especially fruits, right?
No question.
Because the high potassium, they're making you exude, yes?
Correct.
I like to use the example of watermelon because I did this recently. I can only eat watermelon when it's like 90 degrees out. it's like instantly makes my hands cold, even hot, but mm-hmm. It works. It just cools the body so much, but I can't stop eating it. So then I ate half of a watermelon. Then I looked 8 months pregnant, right? So it's working. It's an active food. It's not the sugar. It's not that I'm allergic. It's not that it's all these problems. It's just a very active food, and it's doing its job to move out the waste and the dry, you know, I'm so dried out from the smoke. So I want to talk about that, Mark. You know, I think sometimes, especially with fruit, people think, I get bloated when I eat that. Well, it's because it's doing its job. So maybe you have, I call them active foods, right? So fruits and vegetables are active, especially raw. So when you eat fruit, it's doing its job and cleaning you out. So if you're really backed up, it can be uncomfortable. So you want to talk about that and how, I think really what it comes down to is choosing the right fruits. So you can do the low glycemic, we can do cucumbers, we can do celery, we can do, we don't always have to do juicy fruits. We can do other things like greens or green apples. So do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Well, one of the things we know that for anyone that's got a chronic illness, and most of these people on the call are going to have it, that means your eliminative organs have not been doing well. So you don't want to just push them. You don't want to put a plunger into a toilet and push too hard. You want to get things to move through at a rate that a body can handle. So if you haven't been pooping 2-3 times a day for years, if you've had bloating, distension, gas, smelly stools, any of that, you know there's more waste in you. And so when you start on a high fruit and vegetable diet, if you haven't cleaned out, you're going to feel backed up. You're going to feel problematic. That's why, we've talked in other calls, and I'm not saying that I want to push everyone to do this. But if you have a history of GI imbalances, you might want to start with an enema or a colonic just to see what it'd be like to get things moving. But if you start with the fruits and vegetables and you don't have a problem with that, great. Just do them. You'll eliminate well and you'll feel better. But if you're feeling bad, then you have to do some remedial work. You have to go back and clean up the problem, which is not hard. And then you can up the ratio of fruits and vegetables as your elimination starts to match what you're putting in. But if you blow up with it, then you know you have to go back and retrace some ground. You can't try and push it through. It won't work. You'll feel bad, and then you'll say, the raw food diet made me feel bad. No, it wasn't the raw food diet. It was your history that hadn't been remediated that set you up for the diet to push things, and you couldn't get it out.
Right. Well, I mean, it's true. You can push things, but we always say, please work with a practitioner. You know, you can do a juice cleanse. You can do these things, but you're going to move so much waste. You need to be supervised. So, and mm-hmm. like you just said, you need to do enemas. You're going to, you know, who knows? You might have to do serious binders. It depends on what you're dealing with, but pushing too hard is not what you want if you're not dealing with a practitioner. So we always go back to some of the most neutral and powerful foods are cooked vegetables because they have the high mineral content. They're really, really alkalinizing, really cleansing, really building too, but so easy to digest, right? And they're active, but they're not super active like fruits that can go in and start moving lymph and breaking down lymph. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I have a little froggy throat, guys. It's the smoke. So I think that's really important. So back to the acid alkaline. So really doing your best to have you know, people say at least 80% alkaline foods. That means fruits and vegetables in your diet, and then 20% building. Some people need more building than that, right? Because a lot of us are, you know, our tissues compromised.
Yes. If you've been tearing down for a long period of time, the ratio is going to depend on your history. So some people mm-hmm. need a little more building. Some people need a little more cleansing. And throughout your life, you're going to go through phases where you need more building and phases where you need more cleansing. So it's not like you stay at the same level all the time for the rest of your life. Depends on where you come in on the scale mm-hmm. and what the weather's doing, what the stress is doing, how well you can chew and digest. I mean, there's too many variables to say, pick a ratio and stay with that ratio 100%. You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, and again, the changing seasons is a really big one. I mean, it's really pay attention to what you want. You know, if you're hot, it's funny. In California, we don't have AC, so we really feel the seasons. So it's really hot. So I don't feel like having building foods. I just want fruit. I just want salads and fruit and green juices. And that's the right thing. So listen to your body. You know, if you're living in AC, you might not have that same craving. You know what I mean? But you can still focus on some of these active foods. So what's interesting to me, too, is you can have any food that you eat that is not digesting properly will eventually end up as acidic, right? It'll end up as waste because
right.
for whatever reason, you didn't digest it properly. And that's why food combining is such a beautiful tool to do for a short time. I know it's really hard for a lot of people. It's completely counter to the American diet. So in a nutshell, food combining says foods have different rate of metabolism, meaning fruit, for example, is mostly water. It goes through very quickly. I'm just giving you the basics of this. A piece of meat requires intense hydrochloric acid. It takes a lot more energy to break that down, right? And also the enzymes are totally different. The enzymes to break down carbohydrates are alkaline, and the enzymes to break down dense proteins are acidic. Are you tracking me here, Mark? Mm-hmm. I don't want to make it too complicated.
Well,
so when you have foods,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so the basics is if you have a food that's a starch and requires alkaline enzymes and then a meat that requires acidic, they kind of neutralize each other in the stomach. And it's confusing to the body. So this is about simplifying and having more simple meals. And what it looks like is choosing a protein. If you're going to have meat or beans or something, have it with vegetables instead of having meat and bread. So if you're going to have starch, have it with vegetables, but don't mix starch and meat. Am I making sense? I know we have a whole chart, and it's in the program, and we sent you a video on it too. Actually, very simple, but it's just such an easy way to be able to feel satisfied, but you're also cleansing at the same time. That's mm-hmm. what I love about it. So, Mark, do you want to say more about that, like the different enzyme structures?
Well, the most important thing, we've talked about it before, is you have to chew, because if you chew thoroughly, you know, and the old rule is drink your solids and chew your liquids. So what we're doing is the enzyme structures have to be activated by your mouth, by your parotid glands, and your body's identifying with your tongue what foods you're putting in. And if you eat like a wolf or a dog, and you take two chews of the hamburger and swallow, then your body doesn't know what went in it. But if you chew it thoroughly and you get the saliva mixing with it and you produce the enzymes, then you will also do two things. Besides make your food break down better, you also recognize when you're full. See, a lot of people, when I am starving and I eat quickly, I can eat too much. If I'm chewing thoroughly and taking my time, when my body gets an apostatic mechanism, when the brain is talking to the gut and the gut and the brain are communicating effectively, it says, I've had enough food and I need to quit. But I've also broken the food down into such small particles, and the enzymes can really do the rest of the digestion, that I get more effective digestion. I absorb more out of my food, and I eliminate the waste better. And so the best way to get enzyme structures working, if you can't afford supplements, chew thoroughly. It really does work, and your body will feel better. So that's a way to get enzymes that doesn't require you to go out and spend money on some kind of exogenous enzyme tablet or capsule.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we always talk about the importance of chewing, and I've really been, since we started this program, I'm like, okay, stop, slow down. And I think I was telling you this earlier today about gastric emptying. I think that's really important that we talk about this, because if you are wolfing down your food, like you just said, there it is, big chunks of food too fast, not enough time to build enzymes, you know, especially chewing in your mouth for the carbohydrate amylase, and there's a couple others, to produce the enzymes, you're missing it. And so I gave the example the other day, just in a hurry, stressed, smoke, I ate, it was properly combined, because I ate plantain chips, which is a banana family, plantain with guacamole. Wonderful, delicious, but I scarfed it down. And this is going to sound gross, but 6 hours later, I burped up the same guacamole and chips. So it's completely stuck. So gastric emptying is a big deal, because you've efficiently digested your food, or not completely, but it's emptied out of the stomach. And I think we just keep adding more onto that. So I want to talk about that. If you feel like you haven't completely digested, emptied the last meal, and you feel hungry, I think it's really important to stay with neutral foods like cooked vegetables or salads, or even miso, just to get it moving again. Wouldn't you agree?
No question.
Yeah. It's funny. I've been watching my 9-month-old niece, and my gosh, I don't even know what to say about it. We got her out of foster care, and it's been a process, and she's so amazing. But this little one had a really hard beginning, right? Tummy troubles, preemie, the list goes on. So I've noticed when I feed her, if I feed her too much at once, because she wants to suck down the food, she will just, this little one loves to eat. And then she's got a bellyache, and then she doesn't poop. She gets constipated. And these are, you know, these are baby foods, fruits and things like that, and vegetables. But still, it's just too much at once for her. And I noticed when I really slow her down, it's amazing. Really, like, I watch her mood, everything, slow down the feeding. It makes such a difference, and I've learned that. So, as you said, Mark, just slowing down, chewing thoroughly. You don't need as much as you think, right? You want to have effective digestion, not less can be more in that case.
A lot more. Matter of fact, when I slow down, so if I wait until I'm starving, I would have some vegetable juice of some kind. I use some powder, so I can mix them in water. And I would swirl it around in my mouth, and I would let that go down first, because it digests really easy. And if I give myself 15 minutes with the vegetable juice, whatever way you want to have it, then I can settle down, and I'm not starving when I go to eat food. But if I'm just going to start eating food, I can't stop. It doesn't matter how much I know. It doesn't matter how much I've taught. So that's why I'll put the juice in, and I will distract myself, and I'll set a timer, and in 15 minutes I'll see where I am. And then suddenly my brain is better. I feel better. I've now created the enzymes to digest the meal, because it takes enzymes to digest the meal, and my apostatic mechanism isn't going crazy. I can suddenly sit there and I can eat a reasonable amount of food, chew it thoroughly, and not be desperate trying to get myself out of the hole that I created by waiting too long. So I try and
then your blood sugar is
like
more
this.
Right. So your blood sugar is up a little bit, so you're not like ravenous.
Right.
Really smart. It makes me think of how, you know, appetizers or I'm going to say it wrong. Is it aperitif? What's the, what that's, or is that after
aperitif?
A meal?
Yeah.
You know,
no, that'd be after,
you know,
yeah.
Europeans, they have, you can have it in the beginning of the meal or after. I think that's really.
To cleanse the, they
really
cleanse the palate. Yeah.
Well, even just to get a lot of these liqueurs and things are loaded with herbs and fruits,
mm-hmm.
and even vegetables. So, gosh, I wish I could drink that stuff. there's this this thing called this liqueur called pastis. Do you know about it?
Yep.
It's licorice and a bunch of herbs. Beautiful French. I used to drink it, and it really soothes your stomach. So if you can handle a little alcohol, really, really beneficial. And I want to talk at some point in this program about licorice. I have a really good trick for getting a licorice in the body. I know Klinghart's been talking a lot about licorice as a anti-SARS herb. So, and it's so yummy, and it's such a great thing to have after a meal because it helps you to digest. It's sweet. It gives you that sort of sweet dessert kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's, I think, why the Italians and the Greeks like to have their, and the French like to have their after dinner pastis, licorice-y drinks. That was a tangent. Sorry about that. Okay, so I want to go back to when foods, even if you're having the best foods possible for your mind and what you think, and it's not digesting properly, the deal is sugars ferment, fats go rancid, and protein putrefies in the gut. So you really want to simplify your meals so you're getting the most out of your food. And here's the other key piece is digestion is an exhausting process, right? I forget what they say. It's like running 5 miles, digesting a piece of meat or something like that. It takes a lot of energy. Do you want to speak to that, Mark?
Well, yeah, it usually takes about a third of your last meal to set up, assuming you had a good meal and you digest it well, to set up the enzyme structures and make sure you digest your next meal. So you figure that 30, 40% of your previous meal is setting up the process for the future meal. And if you don't have, that's why if you miss a meal, so you have breakfast and you don't eat anything until dinner, nothing. All you did is drink water. You know, it makes it harder to digest your dinner. That's why if you can eat consistently, some people are doing intermittent fasting and they eat, you know, in smaller spurts, maybe they eat in 8 hours or whatever. But if you're eating regularly, you've set up the digestion for the following meal. That's why sometimes it's easier when you go overnight and then you have breakfast, which is breaking a fast. Sometimes you want to eat, depending on the person, you want to eat sort of small things. I would prime myself with a vegetable drink. That's what I would do. Because if I prime myself with a vegetable drink, it flushes my body. We're back to lymph. I can flush the metabolic. I can have a bowel movement, but I can also put in something that's really alkaline. It'll basically act as a fire hose and flush out my lymph system. So I'll not just urinate, but then I'll feel like if I wanted to do some exercise of some sort, I could sweat more. And for many people, when I say pee, shit, sweat, when I talk to women, a high percentage of women don't sweat, hardly at all. And I would tell people, that's a sign that you need more fluid in your life. Because if your body is saying, I can't get rid of it by sweating, then it's saying it's too low. And likewise, people that say, I don't sweat, I ask them how often they urinate, and they'll say, oh, maybe 5-6 times a day. I'm going to tell you that you want to drink about a quart of clean water for every 50 pounds of body weight, and you'll probably be urinating 10, 12, 15 times a day. But I've talked to women that urinate 3 times a day. They urinate when they get up, they urinate as soon as they come home, and they urinate at night before they go to bed. And I ask them how much they drink, and all they have is maybe a cup of coffee. And that's not going to flush your lymph system. That's not.
So sorry, you guys.
Trying to
get Mark back.
Yeah, there's Mark. Let me get him.
Can you come back in?
I'm in.
Hey, Mark. There you are, Mark. Hey, buddy. All right.
Like a little storm that just passed through.
Like,
okay.
Okay.
It's like their server crashed or something, but we're still online. The call's still going.
Good.
Thanks for those who
okay.
are still on and those who aren't. I mean, you know, we're going to be pushing the recording out. So we still have a good bit of people still on. So not out of the question
okay.
here, Dana. But we can try.
Thanks for hanging in, guys.
I know. You guys like the survivors.
I love this group.
Live
we're such warriors.
That's right.
Like,
it's all members,
come on, a
too,
static.
You know? So it's all like long-term people. It's great.
Yeah, like thought I haven't been through this. Give me a break. I can do this.
That's right. You got this. You got this.
I was talking to Mark about that earlier. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it right in this moment. I just want to acknowledge all of you. What the world is going through is really, really hard, and people are having to adjust their lives and adapt, and they're afraid. I'm like, wait a minute. We've been doing this for decades. And
right?
I just love you, and thank you for showing up. And, you know, Mark, we had that conversation about, you know, how hard it is to hear from people that are going through things. People are going through a lot, and it's mm-hmm. it, of course, and I have compassion, but when people tell us how hard it is, and we've been going through this for decades, it's hard, I know. It's like, well, I can't do the things I wanted to do. Oh, really? Tell me more about that.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Well, let me add something. So, Dane, I want to add something because people don't realize it. When people use words very loosely and they say, oh, I'm really tired, and people that have not had a chronic illness have no idea what really tired is. I mean, they don't. And when we did a hair analysis on you and the numbers come back, and those are hard metrics, those are things that you can't make up, that you did not lie about, we know that you have imbalances that are severe. And when I do a hair analysis on a normal person and it comes back like they're a little out of range, a little, and they're saying, well, I'm a little tired, I've been working too hard, I've been pushing. What I say is all these people with chronic illnesses, they've been pushing for 20 and 30 years. And they have no idea how to communicate that to people. I mean, tired is like a joke. They're exhausted, and they're jacking it up with their mind, and they're focusing on it, and they're taking the best attitude they can. Otherwise, they would have committed suicide and be dead. So I applaud everyone on this call because you've been pushing through when other people would say, oh, my God, I couldn't do this. And you're constantly trying to maintain your attitude, and you're constantly trying to do all the right behaviors. And then you have days where you maybe get your head above the clouds just for a second and you see, oh my God, it's sunny. But most of the time, you're struggling just to keep your head above water.
That's it. Yep. And you know, I call it the great fall because there's healthy people, they're living their lives, they're used to just doing whatever they want to do, and then they have a dip and it's like, it feels like, oh my gosh, I don't feel good, or I'm tired, or I have pain. It's like, it's from health to unwell is a big fall. And for us, we've been dealing with unwell for so long that we're just so accustomed to it. And, you know, we have to hear people complain, and it's not easy. And I want to bring up that example you just said about the hair analysis, Mark. You did that one on me about the copper, and you said it was in crazy ranges. But then recently, I'm not going to share his name right now. I've got to ask him about it. But there was a lab in Germany that reached out and asked for two hair samples. And so my friend sent two hair samples to this lab in Germany that can test for Lyme, and amazing what they can do now, right? So he sent two samples. One was mine and one was his. And the results came back, and the top line is really amazing. So this person that, the guy that sent it, I don't want to give his name, but he sometimes says, yeah, you know, I get achy sometimes too. And we all get tired, and, you know, be happy and all these things. Right. The results came back and it says the man has nothing. His energy resistance is perfect. 0 on a scale of 10. That means there's nothing major bothering his body. The woman is a different story. Her energy levels are at half. She has a lot of stress and resistance in her body. So I'm just going to give you those, but that's to your point, Mark. People don't know what tired is. They don't know what pain is. People experience pain. Sometimes it's for a week or two, and then they come out of it. A lot of us don't have the reserves. A lot of healthy people have a backup, right? They can dip down, mm-hmm. and they have the reserves to bounce back. Do you want to speak to that? So we are doing amazing. Like, we're warriors with like injuries, and we keep pushing forward, and we will get there. We will get there. I just want to say you are seen, you are validated, and you're so very loved. And, you know, I used to think that I had to listen to people that are struggling, like healthy people. You don't. You can say, I'm sorry, that's hard for you. I need to go, because they really won't ever know how hard it is for you. And it's exhausting trying to explain it. So thank you for putting all that into words, Mark. It was really, really important.
Well, I think the thing that people don't understand is in Western medicine, there's not a lot of measures or metrics for levels of health. You know, blood work doesn't really give you a good metric. And
yeah.
Things like hair analysis shows you what you've been, and I'm not touting that as the only thing, but it shows you what you've been absorbing for 90 days. And very seldom do you get a 90-day moving metric that tells you what your body is at least picking up. And if you have toxic chemicals in it, toxic metals, it'll show it. So if you're doubting that you have a problem, or someone in your family or someone you know is saying, well, I'm not really sure because everybody's tired, get some kind of metric that everybody can agree on, and you can say, okay, look, I'm not making this up. Yeah, I have Lyme disease, and my body is depleted. I'm running on fumes. And when you're running on fumes long enough, your adrenals are going to burn out. Your body is going to have all kinds of other problems that you haven't thought about, and the doctors aren't going to tell you anything about that. They don't know how to measure it. And I'm not saying the doctors are mean. I'm just saying they don't have a metric to measure that.
Well, as you're saying this, I'm thinking to myself, why do I need people to know the struggle? And I don't want sympathy. I just want you to understand we're not in the same race, right? It's like, just, I don't need you to, you know, feel sorry for me or any of those things. Just know that I'm carrying 100 pounds on my back in this race. So it's not equal, and just kind of know that and be, you know, maybe be helpful when you can. But yeah, it's not the same. It's just not the same. And, you know, and going through this pandemic, it's like people saying we're in this together. Sure, as spiritual beings, we're in this together, but physical reality for people is not at all the same, right? Not at all the same.
Dana, you said something that I think is a good way for people to hear about this and maybe get it. You know, when you're training in the military, one of the things they do is they have you carry these heavy packs and train with that. And then by the time you take the pack off, you can run like the wind. Everybody that's dealing with Lyme is carrying a 100-pound pack. And what you're always recommending with cleansing and with enzymes and with fruits is you're recommending taking off the pack. That's what you're doing. You're saying, okay, let's simplify. You've been walking around with a load on your back. Every step you take, your legs are heavy. Everything you do is hard. If we simplify and take some things out, which may be hard, but once you take things out, it's like emptying the backpack a little at a time. And when the cleanse is going on and you're pooping and you're peeing, the backpack's emptying out. And eventually, that's why some people, when they do it effectively, suddenly say, oh my God, I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I suddenly have more energy. I can digest better. I can do things better. You're just trying to look in the pack and pull out the easiest things to pull out, whether it's the dairy or whether it's the heavy meats or whether it's adding in water. You're just trying to take the load and reduce it enough so the person can make the next step. And then when you have more energy, you can make the next step. Maybe then when you're feeling a little better, you can cook. And then when you cook, then you feel a little bit better, then you can do a little exercise. It's about taking incremental steps to release the stress on your body.
Amen. That's it. And I like to use the word unburden. It's like that's a beautiful image of unpacking, just unpacking. And that's what I want to say here. It's like it's not the same for everyone, and not everyone's going through the same thing. But what we have is experience, and we have tools, and every day, even when our bodies are not doing well, we show up with a smile. That is serious soldier of light training right there. That's amazing. So we should be happy that we are actually doing the work that everybody is learning right now that they have to do. They have to figure out how to be in present time. People are suffering because they don't have the same distractions, right? You hear a lot of people saying, I'm bored. They don't get to go out. They don't get to go on trips and all these things. And we're like, huh, been doing that for a long time. We know how to be in present time. We know how to have appreciate the smallest simple things. Again, like sitting on the ground, flowers, freshness, friends. So I think we're, in some ways, we're really ahead of the pack. And I think ultimately we can help people in this next sort of shift in this transition. So keep staying as your warrior self, offer tools to people. We have great tools. And that's the main thing about dealing with transitions, is using your tools to adapt to the environment, to adapt to your emotional state, to find that middle ground. So I like to call it the warm middle, right? So we're either, if it's physical, you're hot or cold. You find that middle. You find the warm. You're happy, sad. Find that middle ground. It's very, very useful in this political climate. Are you in the warm middle? Can you listen to the other side? You know, so I want to get to that, but I don't think we can today, because it's going to be really important that we figure out ways to deal with this election. It's like the last one. People lost family members. It gets ugly, and that's the last thing that we need to do. And I've told you some of my experience. Like, if I bring up that I have questions about Bill Gates' agenda with a vaccine that genetically modifies your RNA, I get called a Trump lover. So it gets crazy out there, right? Right, guys? We need to figure out ways to just speak to each other. And, you know, I like to say, if it gets heated, just shift into neutral, because the fight is not worth it. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. I think that also keeping yourself out of fight or flight at least keeps your immune system in better shape, and it makes it so you can digest your food better. So sometimes you have to just go neutral, just because it's not going to work. It doesn't work for me to rev up and then try to relax to eat. I can't get parasympathetic, digest my food, when I'm revved up. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Physically impossible.
Yeah, and we're all kind of revved up, and just we're in this state of like, what's going to happen? Where's this going? You know, what's interesting, the late summer, the emotion for late summer is worry, even though we're into fall now. But it's Indian summer. We're trailing into fall. But worry is a really big deal. There's a lot of anxiety that we're experiencing. And anxiety, if you break it down, anxiety is future thinking, right? We're just in this future thinking of like, how far is this going to go with the smoke? How bad is it going to be? Who's going to be the president? We're just kind of in this future thinking, and it's really anxiety producing. So if we can figure out, this is something else we figured out as Lyme patients or chronically ill patients, how to pull back and not miss the day. That's really what I'm so clear on. The future is uncertain. It always has been, but how to not miss the day, how to just like really pull all the gifts of what's around you and enjoy it. I mean, my God, the amount of humor that's come out right now, right? The humor, you know, the music, there's a lot of beauty coming out of this situation, right? You want to speak to that, Mark, at all?
I think the internal beauty is what I like people to focus on, is that you're here on the planet. Your body is still working. There is something that's in balance, and all we want to do is increase the effective balance in your body. So there's a beauty inherent in human beings that I can't give you in the way of supplements, and I can't give you in the way of manipulations. You have a vibrance that keeps you alive. Focus on that. Shine your light on that. That will allow you to pick the next appropriate step for you.
I mean, life force doesn't always mean that you're healthy. You can have a strong life force, right? It doesn't always have to do with the physical body. You can have a strong spiritual energy. I was trying to pull up the questions here, Brent. I just want to do a couple wrap-ups before we take the questions that were written in. In terms of the lymph, so clogged lymph is caused by stagnation, either in digestion, poor combining, you know, toxicity from the environment. So we want movement, movement, movement. That's what we want. Some signs that your lymph is backed up is your skin. So one of the things I've noticed, my gosh, is my pores. I looked in the mirror. I'm like, oh, my gosh, my pores are black from the smoke. So not sweating enough from the inside out, right? Not being able to, we got to push that out. Bloating, as you said, Mark, that's often the gut. I know you speak to that a lot. You also speak to the fact that pain most often is a result of clogged lymph. I think that's really important. Well, can you recap that quickly?
Well, let's do the easy one. Since most of the people on the call are women, women know that when you're pre-period or you're, you know, at certain parts of your cycle, you feel like your breasts are tender or you feel bloated. That can cause pain. Swelling anywhere, whether it's from an injury, from bad food, causes pain, causes joint pain. And so when the lymph, which is just fluid, when it drains, that's why when people go on a cleansing diet, they say, oh my God, my joints don't feel as stiff, my knees don't hurt as much, I can bend over more, the pain is less. When the pressure is around the joints, you'll have problems moving. When the pressure is anywhere, you'll have pain. When you exude, when you pee, shit, sweat, when you get stuff out, the pain goes down. It's not going to solve all pain. You can have a torn muscle. But we're talking about generalized pain. And Dana, you've spoken to that more than anyone I know because you know that when you're filled with fluid, you hurt everywhere. And when you get on the ground, you feel better. I mean, tell them about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is when I was doing all the good behaviors during the smoke, I was taking NAC, I was taking vitamin C, I was drinking a ton, even fruits, vegetables, all of it. And I just kept getting more and more puffy because it was too smoky for number one, but I was also saturated in Wi-Fi for months. Actually, I didn't get on the ground. So as soon as I got on the ground, it dropped. It's amazing. I know of a woman that lost 50 pounds by laying on the ground every single day. So we are electrical beings. That's a whole other thing to speak about. But some of the things to move lymph, we know in this program, skin brushing, hydration is huge. Movement and structure. We have Seth Lynn in this program speaking about the importance of structural balance. So he's so amazing. Oh, I got someone. Hello? Oh, I got someone in there. I would encourage you guys to watch that video if you're in the program. We will be releasing that in another week or so. So, so good about the importance of structure for draining too, Mark, right? For everything, for digestion. I mean, we could just go on and on. So I love that in this program, Seth offers a few exercises to pull you out of fight or flight. Structural exercises, really cool. And I should also pull up the rest of the program for those of you that aren't in it. Let me share with you what we've got. So let's see. So week one. Okay, so we're going to be opening the week one session. So everybody's caught up on the same page. We're going to open it probably this afternoon, and then we're going to close the doors Tuesday night. So if you want to get in this program, please do. You're not behind. It's going to be great. We keep each other accountable. Even if we just get one healthy habit down for the next 3 weeks, it's so powerful. We talk about food combining. Mark, we have a call about enzymes inside and out. We have all kinds of recipes and cleansing lymph methods. Funny, the Live More Survival Kit. That was back when we used to travel on airplanes. And again, Seth Lynn, the anatomy of fight or flight, and then how to realign, relieve, and re-strengthen. And then my favorite, we've just been using the same interview for years because it just, it's everlasting, it's eternal. It's Michael Vladek, and he, some of you know this interview where he was 23 and he was diagnosed with late stage lymphoma. So it's interesting, the lymph and all that. But what's so powerful about his interview is that he was diagnosed and he realized either he was going to live or he was going to die, but either way he needed to heal. And if he healed himself and lived, beautiful. If he healed himself and died, it was a peaceful way, a peaceful way out. And if we really think about, Mark, you and I were talking about this healing. What is healing? It really is just a cleanup job. It really is just cleaning up the toxins physically out of your body. It's cleaning up your mental state. It's cleaning up your relationships, right? It's cleaning up your connection to spirit, whatever that is. So we need to do this. We need to stop being distracted. And this is this moment of like everybody's stuck inside or whatever. This is the time to do that cleanup work because, you know, transitions, we're talking about transitions and, you know, we're seeing a lot of people leave the planet. And I think it's really important that we do that healing for ourselves, for our loved ones, so we all can be in a more peaceful state, right? I know I feel like I'm preaching right now, but it's
perfect.
True.
That's it.
It's really, you know, and back to the worrying, you know, worry is part of the late summer emotion of worry. It's like, oh my gosh, the worry about dying, the worry about loved ones dying, and the news. Oh my, it's like you just want to go crazy. It's so terrifying. It's like, turn off your TV, live your life. You know the things to do. Just connect with your loved ones, communicate that you love them. It's really, really important. And if we, you know, I think it's really important that we have tools and meditations that can bring us into sort of a higher consciousness, because to me that's like building a bridge, right? Wherever we go when we pass to a different state of consciousness, if you can exercise that while you're here, it's really powerful. If you are even if you're not going to pass on, but you go through an illness, but you have the strength to change your state, to go to a place of light and strength, then you've trained for it. And I know a lot of us know when symptoms get crazy, we know how to pull ourselves in. It's not easy, but we have tools. Are you tracking me here? I know I get kind of worried that I'm sounding crazy and I stop myself, but
I think that's right on. Keep going.
I think
keep
it's on it. No, but because I've just, I think we live so much of our life fearing death, and every bit of our, you know, reality is a way to avoid it, right? We distract ourselves. But I think the more we can connect into the higher realms, I think the more we will let go of fear. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Well, I think what you're talking about is the essential part of life, because if you're going to live in fear every minute and you're in fight or flight and you're in sympathetic dominant, just biochemically you're draining yourself. And I'm not saying, you know, be an ostrich, stick your head in the sand, be Pollyanna. I'm saying focus on what's working. That's why I think the miracle is the fact that anyone listening to this call is alive. Something is working. Focus on what you've got working effectively and make it a little more effective. And yes, there's things to be concerned about. But if I'm concerned every minute and I'm worried every minute, I can't take enough supplements, I can't do enough treatments, I can't do anything to interrupt that at the level that I need to, is when I stop and take a breath. Go for a walk. If the environment and the weather permits and your energy permits, just go for a walk and do a little cross crawl and thank God for every breath that you have, because you are moving forward. You are not stuck. And that will make you more parasympathetic. That'll make you digest better. That'll make you rest better. That'll make you reset your nervous system better. That'll reduce pain. You know, all those things come from just taking that direction that you're telling people, Dana.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and the stress of, like, of, for example, having, we used to have a lot of freedom, and now we have restraint. That's stressful. So learning how to let go and adapt, that's really going to be the word that we need. Is, and we've learned this with chronic illness, is adapting and using our tools. Using our tools, okay, I'm stuck inside. How do I feel like, how do I create an environment that makes me feel like I'm outside? How do I let go of control because I don't have control right now? How do I let go? What can I control? I can control my intake of foods. I can control my intake of what I look at online, all those things. And really, you know, gratitude, as you said, Mark, is so and so important as we're shifting, like being grateful for what has been, if we're moving into a new phase. And what I really do if I'm moving out of a phase, like if you're moving from a place or a relationship or a way of being, it's like, I'm grateful for that. What lessons did I learn? And then get excited for the future. So let's get excited for the future. I know we're in like, oh my gosh, everything's breaking down, but what's going to come of this is going to be amazing. It is, because we're going to learn. We're going to learn huge lessons, and we're going to learn them together. So get excited about what's coming. That's what I'm working with right now. And a few other things I just want to mention, just because someone asked about anxiety. The things that work for me, like almost instantly, are smell, because of the limbic system. So a lot of people like to use essential oils. But whatever scent comforts you. And I feel kind of embarrassed to admit this, but all my life, like men's cologne has always been really comforting to me. So I have this sort of sandalwood-based natural men's cologne that I put it on like a pillow or something. It makes me feel protected. Isn't that interesting? So it's going to be different for all of us, what comforts us. Texture is huge for sensitive. So anything soft that feels good to you, I always recommend cashmere. It can be so grounding, so healing. And then sound. I'm going to bring up whole tones again. Whole tones is the frequency music. Mark, you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Really incredible. Those are some tools I want to share for dealing with anxiety. What else can we say?
I'm gonna add one little thing, because I'm sitting here playing with a new kitten that landed on our property, and the sound of the cat purring. The cat is purring his little brains out. And I swear, stroking the cat raises my oxytocin. There's no question. If you have an animal that you're comfortable with and it works for you and you don't have any allergies, you can raise oxytocin just by being around an animal, if that is comfortable for you. If it's not, don't do it.
Well, it's going to be different for everyone, right? But, of course, mm-hmm. animals always, you know, if you're a cat person or dog person, either way. But for me, the same feeling you're getting with that kitty is when I'm with my 9-month-old baby, and the cooing and the giggles and the face. I'm like, what am I looking at right here? Like, it's just that awe. They're in that God space. They're in that space of innocence and purity. It's incredible. And they bring us right into it. I love it so much. So I'm going to go through the questions really quickly. Let's see, Shelly. Hi, Shelly. It's been a long time. When we've been through, Brent, I know it comes up really weird code sometimes, but I'm going to try to read it. when we've been through an especially difficult period with a lot of nonstop stress for weeks at a time, remind us what are the best measures to take to undo the damage, stress, and bring our bodies back into balance. Well, it's everything we just talked about: basic needs, clean environment, declutter where you can, getting on a schedule. You know, obviously sleep is going to be huge. And, you know, I think having a ritual, something every single day, you know, when I was younger and I would just travel everywhere, the one thing I would do every place I would go was get up and have coffee. I know, Mark, you don't approve, but
no, it's fine.
You can look forward
to
it. Right.
Yeah.
It's something that you look forward to, and it's something that's universal, and it's a constant. So what's your constant every day? I used to love it because you can get different types of coffee. You can be all over Europe. You can be anywhere. But it could just be a drink. It could be tea. It could be your meditation. The one thing I will say about meditation right now, if I can do a little tangent, I feel it's really, really important to have active meditations. And what I mean by that is not just the old school sitting meditations, because, for example, when I sit here and close my eyes, I feel a lot of Wi-Fi around me. It's not that I can't get to a stillness place, because I can, but it's just not easy. So if you are stuck inside and there is Wi-Fi, I would say active meditation, meaning chanting, singing, dancing, creating, coloring, cooking. Whatever can activate your creativity is going to be really helpful, and that is a meditation. Because sitting with these frequencies is I think people will feel bad about themselves, like, why can't I settle my mind? Do you track me there, Mark?
Mm-hmm. I do.
It's because these frequencies are very disruptive. So, and I also think if you are going to do sitting meditation, just get on the ground. Oh my gosh, it's just like automatic. It almost becomes natural to get quiet. Let's see. So yeah, Shelly, you're doing a great job. I know the nonstop stress. It's just, you know, try to start brand new every day. That's what I do, because it feels like it accumulates. So you have to just wake up and go, okay, it's a brand new day. What am I going to do today that's going to make me happy? Virginia says, what is the best thing to do to make just a bit better? Oh, I suffer from numerous infections and I'm giving up hope. So sorry. I know. We all have these silly infections. You know, just a little bit better is getting on the ground and hydrating. Just try it. Right, Mark? If you just want to do one or two things, 20 minutes on the ground at least. Sherry says, how do I manage pulling a go-to box of comforts to help soothe the severe anxiety I experience? I'm often too weak to scroll around on my phone or computer. I love listening to your talks, specifically about the emotional somatic stability around chronic illness. Open to suggestions. Yeah. Yeah, I think everything we just mentioned, I would always, if you're someone that I know you're sensitive, Sherry, so texture I think would be really important, and surrounding yourself with the right scent. Again, getting on the ground for anxiety is huge. I'm telling you, these frequencies cause anxiety, and I know, I feel like I'm on a mission right now about the wireless stuff, but it really does, because I feel like a different person when I get outside on the ground. I have access to my spiritual information, my creativity. I can feel my body again. So I'm going to just keep saying that. Of course, you know about your tools with tapping and stuff like that. But, you know, whole tones, what I love about whole tones is you don't have to do anything. It's from the outside in. It just comes in. So whole tones is like, it reminds me like of taking a bath. So if you have nothing else, go to the whole tones and just let it sort of bathe over you. And you have to work with the different frequencies because sometimes they can be too high, like past where you are. You got to find the right ones, but it's really powerful. Jennifer's asking, what's the best way to help adrenal insufficiency outside of steroids? Addison's not adrenal fatigue. Yeah. Mark?
Well, that's usually going to require a good practitioner. If you really do have Addison's, and I've worked with Addison's people, it does take, you eventually do have to give up the things that don't work. And you have to get someone that knows what they're doing to balance you out. Because it does take time.
I've been on Cortef before. Sometimes it can be really helpful when you're in a bind.
I'm going to give you something that I think works, which goes along with whole tones. Some people that have heard me know that I use tuning forks. I have about 30 different ones. And I acquire new frequencies as I see that they work. When you find a frequency that works for you, a tuning fork is a great tool because you can carry it in your purse. You can have it with you at all times. And it doesn't require much. You just tap it and put it near your ears or put it on the center of your head, the vertex. And that frequency can reset a lot of things. It can take you out of sympathetic dominant and put you into parasympathetic. So even someone that's got Addison's disease where your adrenals are really in trouble, you know, something like a simple thing, like a tuning fork, find the frequency that you like. You go to someplace where they have them. And listen, and you'll know that there's one sound that just makes you go, oh, and you will take a deep breath, and you'll feel relaxed for a second. And if you have to use that thing 30 times a day, 50 times a day, one thing I like about tuning forks is nobody can ever accuse me of overdosing someone on a frequency because you've got the frequencies of cars and buses and people playing their music too loud and washing machines and everything else. So if you have a frequency that makes you just go, oh, and you suddenly let down. Use that frequency as many times a day as you need to. You get a stressful text, a stressful call, hit that tuning fork. It's going to cost you $10 or $12 for the tuning fork. You can carry it forever. They don't break, and you can't overdose. It's cheap, and it works.
Mm-hmm. I love tuning fork. That's great. And what I like to do with it, too, is you can tone yourself and sort of match it. You do a chant, so you try to you have that. Yeah, I think it really helps to use your voice. In the case of Addison's and this severe adrenal fatigue, I think we're all kind of headed there or there already. Again, however, you can just, I think shutting off is going to be really important. Like you just talked about sounds and all that, Mark. I'm telling you, having the fans on and the air purifiers in here and being locked in, I was going out of my mind with noise. So limiting sounds, limiting light, bring the lights down, all these things that create stimulus, right? So obviously she knows this about, you know, toxic relationships and foods and pulling back into the super simplified life. And honestly, I wish we could all just go out into beautiful nature and we each have our own little pods that are grounded and we do like an infant. We get up, we eat, we move around, we play, we sleep. That's what's required to get us back. And so every day we have to do a little bit of that. A little bit of that nurturing our baby. Pamela just wanted to say thank you. Oh, thank you, Pamela. Let's see, guys. So we're at about an hour and a half. Wow. Thanks for hanging in. I think we could probably take a few questions. How do you guys feel?
Fine with me.
We can do that.
Questions or comments, you know, people that have been
press
with us before.
Yeah, press two on your phone. If you've been with us before, I'd love to hear from you. And
anybody that has questions about this program, please ask now if you're thinking about joining us. You own the materials. We have three more calls, live calls. We have a live Facebook group. Such a beautiful, cozy, loving space to be in, especially right now. So let us know if you have questions or comments. We got a shy group.
I mean, maybe they already dim the lights and, you know, ding the, you know, the tuning forks, and they're already in the zone.
Maybe they're chilled out. Yeah.
Listening to your voice this whole time, it's very calming. So, thing. And you can have a whole next 3-4 weeks of it, y'all, for those who haven't joined by the way.
Yeah, and there's so much I didn't get to today, and I'm always like, oh, so much information, and I want to get it out. But we have many more calls, so it's exciting. And you guys get to speak with each other, and that's always the best.
Right.
I just love when I know you all are talking. It feels so good. So thank you.
I just want to say one more thing. This is going to be a tough next couple months, election coming up. And it's really important to be able to talk to people who can can relate and can understand what you're thinking and feeling. And no one wants to hear about what we're going through right now, right? So on top of all the other world problems. So, for those who haven't joined seriously encourage you to get in with us. There's nothing like a like-minded community. There just isn't.
Absolutely. So. And what I love about our group is it's not just we can relate. We generate a field. By the end of the session, I'm like, wow, I feel we generate a field as a group. So it's not like we're not in there complaining. We're just like we're powerhouses and we come together and it's amazing. And we have fun. So really important. I'm like, we can still have fun.
Exactly. Just like that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for sticking it out with us. And Mark, so great to have you. Brent, thank you so much for your time. And everyone, you can always email us questions or, Facebook group. If you want to get in the session, the link's going to be in the recording. So hope to meet you inside. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Good.
Bye, Brent.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.